How much is a blowjob? You can get it for free from a man.
But do you really want that though? Do you want to close your eyes and not be able to talk about it later to your friends?
Exactly. Oh, this is the best analogy of stuff I've ever heard.
Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom, the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
How you doing, Till?
Hey, Tom, I'm fine.
Yeah, so I just kind of wanted to have you introduce yourself to the audience.
Sure. Yeah, I'm Till Carlos. I'm from Germany. My background is software engineering. So I studied computer science and built a company on the side. We did contracting. That means custom software development for festivals, for startups, some consulting in Brazil and San Francisco. Yeah, and after I graduated with a computer science degree, I exited the company and focused on building software products and teaching how to build an agency and how to start companies and how to build software, basically.
And that's really what I want to talk about today, because a lot of the magazines like Inc. and Entrepreneur, they talk about all these people making money from apps, right? So a regular business owner is hustling with his business. They're having a hard time. Things aren't going as well. And they think, well, if it's so easy to make apps or software, why don't I do it as well? So if you can kind of go over like how the development works, like if someone doesn't know anything about software and they want to develop something, what are the steps? What's the real deal with making software?
Yeah, and this is actually a great question because I would love to record that and just play it to people when they ask me, hey, I have this idea for an app and how much money would you need to build it? So it's like the question of how much does a car cost? It could cost from $500 to $5 million or even more. So the steps to building your software is first get clear on the idea and what's the mission of this thing. So if you want to make money with it, you have to really have a business model for it. If you don't want to make money, do something else with it. Well, then some other steps are important. But when you may want to make money, do those things first and then start building. So this is basically the things that come before the software development. So when you have an idea what the app should do, then you need some person or a company that does the conceptualization. That means the sketches of the app, the functionality, the screens, everything that's not programming.
Okay, so what you're saying is, let's say I have an idea for an app and I want to make something that makes, I don't know, like when I blow into it, it makes a gunshot. There's a lot of those weird, funny apps, right?
Yeah.
So it's not that simple, right? Like someone you're saying has to make a design for it before we even get into anything. Like they have to actually draw things out. Can you explain that a little more?
Yeah, design can be split in two things. One is like the concept and one is the design, the polish. The concept could be a sketch on the paper. So okay. You could sketch down the screens on several napkins or several sheets of paper and say, okay, when I tap here, this happens. When I tap here, this happens. Most people don't even do that. But when you do this, you have a really easy time for a software company to estimate how much effort it would be to program.
I see. So like the steps of what each button is going to do on it, like all the actions, you have to draw it out.
Yeah, exactly. Many people go into software development just starting with the first screen and have that developed and then the next one, then the next one. This is totally valid and it works. It's called the iterative software development. And I really like this style. However, there are other approaches of people who are developing or sketching everything, defining the whole product. And then giving it to a team and have it built. This also works, but it's much more difficult.
Well, which one would you recommend for someone that's just starting out? Like which way to do it so that you or your company like yours would have an easier job doing the software?
It depends on the complexity. If you have an app that shows a gunshot or the joke of the day, then it's probably really easy to define everything and go through every single screen you have on the app. But if you're building something complex, for example, you have an app where you call taxis to come to your place.
Right.
You can sketch some screens, but there are so many possibilities of several maps. What happens if the taxi does not arrive and all those things? You have too many possibilities, and then you cannot sketch everything. And then it comes down to doing some first suggestion and then going over it again and again with a programming team.
So what you're saying is like you would make kind of like a first draft software and then the beta testing. That's when all the wrong things come up and you got to start fixing it.
Beta testing is when the app, the app's functionality already works and the first users can actually work with the app, but it's not secure, it's not really stable, and you compromise on quality. What usually happens before that are cycles in development. That means you give the developer, let's say you're a business owner, want to develop this taxi app. You make the first description, maybe on a Word document or on some sheets of paper, give it to the development team, and they develop the first version for you. They ship it, you get it on your app, on your iPhone, on your Android, and then you work with it. And then you see the things that are not as you described it. Because communication is always not everything, right? If it would be everything, you could program it yourself. So you'd give the changes to the developers, and then another cycle comes, another so-called sprint, and you go over those sprints, and they could take years depending on the complexity.
Yeah, but a lot of the things you won't even realize are wrong until the app is kind of running, right? So what you're saying initially is that the developer would put something kind of workable that you can see, and then you look over that and see, oh, this is missing and that's missing, or how does that work?
Yeah, it depends on how well equipped your team is. You can also hire a product guy, someone who has some intuitive meaning, who understands you want to build a taxi app, and who thinks ahead. So for example, if you're a business owner want to build this taxi app and you hire a complete team, which is developers, designers, and a product guy, this product guy is the person who gets your idea, completely understands what you want, and then works constantly with a development team and teaches them how the app is behaving. And this is why software development is so hard, because you have to constantly direct the development. And if your team falls short on this skill, you might end up with a product that's not what you wanted or that doesn't work as you wanted. This is what makes software development so hard.
And I think I ran into the same issues with web development. So far, the things that I kind of got out of this is you really need to work with a project manager that has a team and probably that speaks your language, because that's like the problems I ran into, that I had someone that didn't speak good English and the communication was off and the website I got was completely different than what I wanted it to be. So with software, it seems like the same problem too and same issues.
Yeah, it is totally the same. And in fact, many software companies develop out of web design because web design is really easy to do. And nowadays, the technologies used for software are actually web technologies. So there are so many similarities, but normally websites are a bit easier to do. But then, for example, you make a WordPress website, then you want some contact form. This is still easy. But then you want a membership area. And then you come to areas where you have to program things yourself, and then you have software development. And it doesn't actually matter if it's your website with a membership area or if it's a small application like Twitter, for example. So these things are really similar. And the problems that you see, it's always in communication. It's always in how to address what issues with your team, how to talk to them, and how to get the specification across. This is similar from software development to web design, yes.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, the web design problems I had were like 10 years ago. It was not that easy to make a website. I did not have my own team. But it seems like software is at that point right now, because maybe in 10 years, it'll be like a WordPress equivalent to making an app. You know, there could be something out that's so easy to do it. But at this point, it seems like, yeah, you got to work with a project manager, because working with a software person directly, you kind of need to know what you're doing, because you have to give them the steps, right? Like each step, just like in the web development, like, okay, you know, create the opt-in, verify the opt-in, place, like you have to give every single step of what the programmer has to do, right? Or because most of them will not do it themselves. That's what the PM is for, or am I wrong?
That's totally right. And those things evolve over time. So when you see the development of web CMS, I mean, coming from a web design background, you know that some years ago, people wanted to have an editable website. So what did the web design companies do? They said, oh, cool, we can upsell them. So everyone built his own CMS.
Yes.
And then some I mean, who did not develop his own CMS? Everyone did that because it was kind of cool at some years ago. But then some software turned out to be much better than own development, and people could make much more money just repackaging some existing stuff. So WordPress and other CMS came out, and people just clustered around these ideas. And with apps, there is still much custom development, and apps are still more complex, so there will be a lot of custom development. However, some patterns are there that are really used. For example, the maps. When you want to include maps in an app, just some short commands, and you get the whole apps, the controls, and how to push pins onto the map, and how to scroll and everything is included in the Apple software. So this is why it looks the same on across all apps. And it's good because it makes app development easier and faster. And those things, those patterns will cluster together. And maybe in some years, we will see some kind of app development kit. I know that there are some out there, yes, but not in the form of WordPress, that you install it, configure it, and then you're done. Not yet. But it could be that there will be such a thing in the future, yes.
Okay, so let's say someone's got an idea, like one of the business owners, they have an idea, or their kid has an idea. How do they go from the idea to actually getting the software going? Like, where would they go to find a developer? You know, let's start with that.
Yeah, normally what people do is they ask around, and then they find someone. So it's basically word of mouth. Then they find someone, they convince them that they can do it. And then they start development and developing, and then something good turns out or something bad turns out. So the rate that something works is about 30%. So 70% is failure or delivering way after deadline. So it's still a bad ratio. However, if normally it works like that, so it's about personal contacts, and then the development is somehow done. If it's a normal, it's like one person developer, freelancer, or if it's a software agency, people also try to reach out to outsourcing on Autodesk, on Elance, or search the web and just find a good agency. So there are many ways. So it comes down to a personal contact. So the thing is, when you want to develop an app or a web application or software in general, it will take some time, and you will do a lot of communication with a development team. So you better find people who you like to hang out with.
But you'll really kind of communicate with the PM, right? They'll communicate with the team.
Yeah, this is crucial, actually. In fact, you should not communicate directly with developers. I mean, you can if you find a rockstar developer who understands what you do. Simon Payne from LeadPages is a good example. He's a hacker, but he clearly understands what the business side wants. This is why they have such a huge success. But there's this danger of the developer's bias or technology bias. So once you start developing things, you are thinking inside the box. You have to, because you're playing around with the tools you have. So these are all inside your constraints, your framework. And when you're inside the box, you're not open to changes anymore. You just get blind of what's possible. So this is why development teams normally consist of more people. That means you as a business person, you're outside. You can say, hey, I want this feature like that. And then you have to push the developer to go there. The developer himself, he will probably say, oh, this is so hard and so expensive now to do. Yeah, of course, but this is because his job is to keep the functionality going and the security of the app. So this is always a trade-off, and it's all about communication and doing things together. So roles in order to develop a product that's secure, stable, but also fulfills the needs of the business.
What you're saying is that the developer might like to create apps in a certain way. With web design, there's like, you know, Joomla, WordPress, and, you know, there's a couple other ones. So this one would be like, you know, I'm just used to Joomla, so we're going to build it in Joomla, even though for the customer, it might be better to build it in WordPress.
For a man with a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So this is really funny. when you ask,
I like that.
Yeah, this is really true. So when you ask a WordPress developer, maybe you have a really complex thing to do, maybe like a complex web application with membership sites and billing and everything. You ask him, hey, what language shall I take? The WordPress developer will tell you WordPress. If you ask a Python developer, he'll answer you Python, because developers tend to use the tools they know. And that is why when you want to hire a developer for a certain task, you should find someone who has already done that in terms of who would handle that specific programming language or who has done that kind of problem before. Normally, you don't want someone to completely unlearn the things he did before and then go into something new, because he will always be inside this technology that he had before.
Okay. But you mentioned Elance, Odesk. Is there a website that's only targeting people trying to build apps and getting them to find the right teams, or is that not online yet?
I don't know about such a site. We should talk about that and make a business out of that.
We should. Yeah, I was just thinking of that. Elance for me is really for getting writers and getting quick fixes on WordPress and stuff like that. Maybe something my team doesn't have time for. But I just can't imagine finding a really good app team, like an actual PM with a team on Elance or Odesk. You know, Odesk I really just don't like. I haven't had good experience on there. When someone asks me, someone that doesn't know about building websites or have no idea, they just want a website, I tell them WordPress is probably the way to go. Is there something like that they should know about app development, like some kind of a platform to build things on that's probably what they should, you know, be asking for from a team since they have no idea about building apps?
I wouldn't ask for a platform because there's not such thing out there. What you could always ask for is Git. So if you have a development team that does not know Git, it's an alarm signal. It's like a versioning system. So if they don't use it, they are either using something old or they are not working in versioning, which means they don't keep track of their changes, which is really bad. And normally people don't do that. And then, yeah, ask for agile methods like Kanban or Scrum, give you some kind of framework to develop, because you do not want to do is micromanage the team. So what you want is a team that gets back to you every week, holds a meeting with you, and then works in sprints. So every week there's a meeting where they present you the newest version of software, and you give your feedback, and you give the next goals, and you can see how fast you are. Because it's really important to have predictability. You don't want a development team that locks themselves in and then come out a year after with the perfect solution, because it won't happen. You want constant feedback.
Do you have any questions that maybe someone should ask the PM other than the ones you mentioned already, just to look for any red flags also, and, you know, just to see if this guy knows what he's talking about?
Yeah, ask specifically with who you have contact. So if that person tells you, I'll assign you a developer and then you get going, then maybe, I mean, it could be a great developer, but it could also be that project manager does not want to care about you. So you should really ask for how much time do you get from what person per week, and then really schedule that time and use that time. What's also important is if they do tests and if you can see the test reports. So many development teams build and write tests, and this is really important and everyone should do that. But normally they don't send them over. So really ask them, do I get reports of the tests? What you should also ask for is reports of analytics, that they give you analytics every week, how the software behaves. And this is also true for mobile. If they tell you we don't have analytics for mobile,
what do you mean by that? For the test for mobile, can you explain that?
Yeah, I can explain it. So for example, there are test frameworks that you use when the app crashes, things that get sent to the server, like crash report, so that you see by 1,000 starts of the app, 2 failed to start, 2 broke down, and then you want to know why. And you as a customer should see those things.
I just want to make sure I got this. So those are really the bugs in the software, and that shows that that team is testing for those bugs.
Yes, and it shows that the team is accountable for those things, that they don't forget it.
What do you mean by how the app is used? Since no one's really using the app yet.
Yes, okay, sure. But I mean, once it goes to the beta test, when you're asking a development team, I mean, you will always ask for some kind of estimation up front.
Okay.
If they tell you they don't know, they should at least estimate. But when they estimate, don't go for the cheapest solution, because you don't want a team that develops you something and then just leaves and goes to the next contact. If you want a running business with it and not a one-time thing that works one time, you're better off paying them every month and then getting a business together, like forming a relationship with that team for the next years. The best contracts we had were where we got a budget every month. We could really assign the developer to it. We could assign my time to it. And then we get the best solution for it. So rather go for a long-term commitment and some kind of recurring income for the team, because it gives them stability, gives you stability, and the quality overall is better.
Yeah, I mean, usually you have the three prongs, right? You have the good, cheap, or fast, right? So which two would you choose when you're picking a team like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can only usually choose two. You can't choose three.
This is so great. And I would love if you put that in the show notes as an image or so, because this is the thing that normally business people do not understand. They want the cheapest solution as fast as possible with the best quality.
Right.
I mean, there is not such a thing. It's always a compromise. So if you go for the cheapest developers and outsource everything to India and give them cheap money, think of the development team. Even if they are the cheapest programmers, they have to get to the next contract in order to make their living. And then you're there without support.
Yeah, but you know, when you pick good and cheap, it's just going to take a really, really long time.
It's always a trade-off. I would say go into the middle and pick a compromise of all of them and go with the person you like to go.
Awesome. Can you tell people where they can find you? And this is kind of a moment we can do a shameless plug too. So if you want to promote something, go ahead, man.
I'd love to, yeah. I'm not doing software development for contracts anymore. So if you can ask me if I know some people, I would gladly refer you. But for app development, it's not me anymore. And I teach IT software development shops how to get better and bigger contracts that way, and how to go for products themselves. So you find me on tillcarlos.com. This is T-I-L-L and then Carlos, like the Spanish Carlos.com.
Is there anything you're trying to promote too, like anything you're working on at the moment?
Yeah, sure. Check out my podcast. I have great guests like Tom Liebelt. we talk about leadership, really exciting in terms of, software companies in general, but also how to lead teams to success. And if you're looking to lead your team, if it's outsourced developers team or your own employees, check out this podcast. You'll learn a lot.
Awesome. Thank you again. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please help out by leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebelt. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.